Yes.
Teach me thy way, O Lord, teach me thy way. Thy guiding grace afford, teach me thy way. Help me to walk aright, more by faith, less by sight. Lead me with heavenly light, teach me thy way. When I am sad at heart, teach me thy way. When earthly joy depart, teach me thy way. In hours of loneliness, in times of dire distress, in failure or success, teach me thy way. When doubts and fear arise, teach me thy way. When storms o'erspread the sky, teach me thy way. Shine through the cloud and rain, through sorrow, toil, and pain. Make thou my pathway plain, teach me thy way. Long as my life shall last, teach me thy way. Where'er my lot be cast, teach me thy way. Until the race is run, until the journey done, until the crown is won, teach me thy way. Let's open in prayer. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, as you said to the apostles and those disciples there, that I must go to send the Comforter, and that the Spirit may remind us of all things that you've spoken. And Father, as we read your word, Lord, as we see the life and the examples that you've left for us, as we go through the week, and Lord, that the Holy Spirit may guide us and call us to remembrance of these things and teach us thy way, so that we may be a greater light for you, and that your love will shine through us. And Father, that we know as we are messengers of the gospel, Father, it's not us personally, but it is the word. It is the word of truth and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that brings irritation and uncomfortableness to the lost. Father, we pray that they may see that need of needing forgiveness and repentance of sin. And we just thank you for the ability to share the gospel message with them. Lord, we just pray for joy this evening now, and still probably there, hospital and recovery. We ask you to just strengthen her, and we pray for a speedy recovery and healing there from the surgery. And again, for Hannah and Marissa, and Julie and Audra and Joel as they're heading and traveling down into Oregon. And for the preparations for this wedding that comes up on Friday, we pray for safety for all those traveling into there for that. Now we ask in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's turn to number 329, sitting at the feet of Jesus.
Sitting at the feet of Jesus, oh, what words I hear him say. Happy place, so near, so precious, may it find me there each day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, I would look upon the past, for his love has been so gracious, it has won my heart at last. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, where can mortal be more blessed? There sins and sorrows, and when weary, find sweet rest. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, there I look, weep, and pray. While I from his fullness gather grace and comfort every day. Bless me, O my Savior, bless me, as I sit low at thy feet. Oh, look down in love upon me, let me see thy face so sweet. Give me, Lord, the mind of Jesus, make me holy as he is. May I prove I've been with Jesus, who is all my righteousness.
And we'll turn to number 313. Joyce sent the email on, I think, Friday night or Saturday, stating that she would be having this surgery on her foot on Wednesday. So this was the first song that came to mind, because she asked me if I just go ahead and pick out. She usually picks out the Wednesday songs, because so something she can play in. So I thought, this one will be good, because she won't be walking too much. So, Stepping in the Light. This is for Joy.
Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King, shaping our lives by his blessed example. Happy, how happy the songs that we bring. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light. Stepping in the light, how beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light, pressing more closely to him who is leading when we are tempted to turn from the way. Trusting the arm that is strong to defend us, happy, how happy our praises each day. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light. Walking in footsteps of gentle forbearance, footsteps of faithfulness, mercy, and love. Looking to him for that grace freely promised, happy, how happy our journey above. Oh, beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, upward, still upward, we'll follow our guide. When we shall see him, the King, in his beauty, happy, how happy our place at his side. Oh, beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light.
Thank you, Emily. Yeah, Joy's going to be out of commission for a good week, I think, and trying to recover from that. There's a fly that has been going around. Did I get it? Oh, I did, finally, okay. I don't know what, he's probably up here starving to death. We'll put him in there, take that down to wash.
It's probably too cold for
him. Yeah, the air conditioning came out, or he's cooked in the heat before it came on. All right, Pastor Greg phoned me at 5, just filled me in that Joy didn't get into surgery until 4 o'clock this afternoon, so it's been there all day. And I guess the previous surgery, there were some complications. So, I don't know, maybe, remember, it is a medical practice. So, always remember that. Doctors have a practice. They're not complete yet, so they're working on you. But I think probably she's probably still there in hospital. So pray for her. And have you ever, you know, broken a toe or a thumb or something? And you notice it's always, for the next 3 weeks, it's everything always gets in the way and you hit it. So pray for Joy. I mean, when you got surgery on your foot, that'll be something that you'll probably run into or get bumped into or somebody will step on it. So just pray for healing, speedily recovery for her. And that's not... that's, you know, your foot is, it's amazing how quickly the rest of the body suffers when something happens, even just to a toe. And that's the church. We're a body of members. We're fitly joined together as a body. And so the church members, if something's wrong with one, it affects the whole family as well. So, all right. Well, this evening, we're going to look some verses this evening on the importance of prayer. And we're going to open with one verse here in Isaiah 55. And Pastor phones and says, you know, Dad's not going to make it, so can you pinch hit and fill in? I went, okay. I guess I could do that. So, and I figured, well, who's left to be there? You know, half my crew's gone, and Gloriana's sick at home, and Valerie's watching over her. And so we've got... Quite a number out. All right, Isaiah 55, and we're going to read verse 6 as we begin, and then we're going to get over into the New Testament. So Isaiah 55 and verse 6, it said, I got to turn the page back because I got the last half of the verse here. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. So that part of the verse there, call ye upon him while he is near. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we do thank you for the privilege that we can call upon you. And Lord, as we know with our hearts and our lives, our thoughts, that we need to keep them in control and check. And even as Paul prayed out and cried out that I have to die daily for that which I would do, I do not, and that which I would not do, I do. Father, that we may call upon you and that we may keep that close communication line open, that we let not sin separate it and shut it down, so that we may just look to you. And for the strength, we have the aid of the Holy Spirit to guide us and your words that will be refreshed in our mind to help us to get through the situation and get through the trials, the test. And Lord, that we may just give you the joy, the thanksgiving, the praise through it all. And we thank you. We ask again now for just special healing for Joy at this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So now reading that verse, let's turn to Luke chapter 18. We're going to read verse the Luke 18 verses 1 through 8. What a privilege it is to have his word today. And what a special privilege it was for those, the disciples, the apostles, and those who were able to be in his presence, to touch him, the form of God in the flesh, and to hear him speak verbally, face to face. But now we have that power to us given by reading his word and by the moving of the Holy Spirit. So here in Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, it says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, he shall find faith on earth. Shall he find faith on earth? Back in verse 6, the Lord says, hear what the unjust judge saith. So back there in verse 4, in the latter half in verse 5, it says, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the old adage, it's the squeaky wheel that gets the oil, right? Or gets the grease. And for us, as a Christian, we come to the Lord in need, and again and again, we can never weary the Lord in our prayers. And yet, we live in a world today, we see the wickedness ever abounding in our country. We see the falling away. And I mean, it's nothing new. It's prophesied that this will happen. And yet, we can come to the Lord. And yet, one day, he will avenge us of all this. Of all this. When he takes us up to glory, when we die, or he comes back in the clouds and receives, takes up the bride of Christ, the church. So, but here in verse 5, that the widow, she continued to coming and coming to the judge. And most of us have memorized one of those really long verses in 2 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Really long verse. What is it? And to be all day long in an attitude of prayer. That we can always come. I mean, today, communications are, it's wonderful when it works. It's like, you got email, you got cellular, you got landline, and it's phenomenal. You got texting, and it's what's available to us. I mean, we can be in touch anywhere in the world instantly. And with God, we can be in touch instantly, anytime, any place in the world. And it's always been there through prayer. He's omniscient, he's omnipresent, all-knowing, and omniscient, so that we can, as long as we hide not sin in our heart, which would separate our communication, we have access right away. We can pray, and yet, well, how do I pray? I don't know how to pray in a situation. And that's, but it is important that we do pray. And so we do need to cry unto God day and night. And, even the apostles and the disciples are there with the Lord, and they asked him, said, Lord, teach us to pray. How do we do that? And back over in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, Matthew 6, 9 through 13, Christ says to them, he says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. As done in earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And the Catholics have taken this and twisted it all up, and this is the only way you pray, and this is how you pray, and this gets you somewhere. Well, it doesn't. This is a pattern. And when you break it down, when we come into prayer, most times, and we do, we pray, it's, Lord, I need this. Lord, we need that. Would you do this? Lord, would you do that? But here, do we open our prayer up with, our Father which art in heaven? Do we praise him? Do we, for his reverence? Pastor Horton, and I know Pastor Greg, Pastor Paul Sr., they will not have R-E-V dot, Greg Greg Vall or Alan Vall. They won't take the name Reverend on, because man cannot be reverend. Only God is reverend. That title belongs to God. He is, he deserves our praise. He deserves our awe. We should stand in awe of him for what he's done for us, what he does. We just had a prime example Tuesday of God's continual holding all things in calculable order. The eclipse. They know exactly where it's coming, when it hits the Atlantic coast at South Carolina, how long it's going to take to come across the states, and when it's going to leave the Oregon coast. And they knew exactly where you needed to be. If you wanted to be in the 75-mile width of darkness, it's all measurable, all calculable. God is in control of all things. I mean, that's a slam in the face of evolutionist Big Bang Theory, to be able to predict exactly the coming eclipses. Because everything with God is held in place until God seems. The summers will come, the winters will come. God is in control of all the seas. They're all continually. We have an awesome God to hold that. We can't change the weather. I mean, man has got futile efforts. I grew up in South Florida. You get drought in the summertime. The Everglades catch on fire. Big, huge bog dries out. So we came up with this chemical we can put in the clouds to create condensation to happen faster. Do cloud seeding. Well, So they do that. And by the time the clouds gather enough moisture and begin to rain, well, they've moved off the east coast into the bay, and they rain. So they miss. So we can't control. We can alter things, but we cannot control, because God holds all things in control. We see that, and we can pray for him. Lord, not that we ask amiss, but could you bring that fire? Could you, I mean, God was in control of the pillar of fire by day. He was, or the pillar of fire by night, the pillar of fire, cloud by day. He was in control of that. And how many of you have ever been able to witness a tornado within, like, you know, 100 miles of you and still be able to see it? That's awesome to see that, to think of that power. And it is, it's like a cloud. You watch it come down. Even a water spout out in the bay is, it's kind of scary when you're out in the water. But it's the power that's there. And God can control that. Christ said, you know, peace be still. But God can actually take one of those and move wherever he wants to go and do what he wants it to do. And we serve an awesome God. We are a child of an awesome God who is in control of all these things. And do we thank him for that, that he's in control? I mean, his hand has been gracious to our city through this summer. We have not had any major, you know, fire upcroppings or anything. We've had a few close ones, but not here. That's a blessing. That's a God's blessing upon us, for us. And we should thank him for that. You know, here, and then, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. And we do look forward to the millennial reign setting up, coming, Christ returning, the millennial reign, and then with the new Jerusalem coming down and all nations bowing and coming to him. But it's his will. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then we ask for ourselves, give us this day our daily bread. And, you know, Lord, I have a mortgage payment coming up in 29 days, and the money's gone. I need it tomorrow. Well, if he gives you your mortgage payment 28 days ahead of the time it's due, you won't have it in 28 days for when it's time to pay it. I guarantee you that. He supplies your need when it is needed. He does, and we ask and we seek him. And it's time and time again I've watched that happen and personally have experienced that. And not even with a car breaks down. And I know when we first came to Chilliwack in 84, Val and I were newly married, and we're looking for a place. We're staying at the Horton's house, and I'm getting razzed by the two younger brothers, Keith and Gordon, and my water pump went out on my little Subaru. And so it's like, okay. So I went to the dealership, and this is, you know, back in 84, and I had an 81 Subaru. And so it was like, well, the water pump is in Japan. It'll be here in about 10 days. And I said, okay, how much is it worth? And the guy said, well, it's going to be like $42.85. And so we ended up, I said, okay. But Lord, I'm not working yet. I'm going to need some money to pay for this water pump that comes. I can do it myself when it gets here. And 3 days later, they phoned me and said, guess what? Your water pump's here. They actually had one up in Edmonton, and they shipped it back down to us. And you can come pick it up. And I'm going like, okay, Lord, the water pump's here. I need to go pick it up. But I literally do not have any money to go get this thing. In the mail, so this is, let's see, oh, this would be in November. And, of course, Val and I were married in August. So we got October, to eight weeks later, basically, there's this envelope in the mail. And it's from one of Valerie's aunts. And it's, you know, just a sorry we couldn't make it to the wedding, and we didn't know what you guys would need. And so here inside this envelope was a check for $35. I went to the bank and exchanged it, and it worked out to like $44.85. I had like 10 cents extra to buy the water pump. And it was there right when we needed it. God does that specifically. He doesn't do it a week in advance because you won't recognize it. And I know others who will talk about having a breakdown on the highway, going to a meeting, and they couldn't make it. They were late, they still had like a full day traveling across states. They still had another day to get there, and the parts weren't going to get back to their town for 2 days. But he found out the place where he was going to meet. Well, this was we have a tape from him, and it's his name is Tricky Ricky. I don't know if he's still alive, but he was to speak at the Oklahoma. Where the government building was blown up there. He was to speak in the children's church, the children's nursery thing up there, to do his ventriloquism presentation and present the gospel to these children. But God had him break down somewhere in the back country of Louisiana. And he's like all frustrated, Lord, I can't get the gospel to these kids. The Lord's going, no, I don't need you in that building at this time. because I know what's going to happen at this building, and I don't need you there because I want you to be around a lot longer. So we can praise God for flat tires. There's a reason he's slowing us down. You know, maybe we got a flat tire because if we would have stayed on the same road, we'd be involved in a 23-car pileup on the highway. Just thank God for the situation. It's hard. It's really hard, let me tell you. When you're focused on getting somewhere, thinking you need to be there, and yet the Lord intervenes and says, wait a minute, not quite. Let me just take it at my pace. But to be in prayer, and then to take those things into prayer when they come, to look to the Lord, like, why, Lord, is this happening? Show me what there is in this. Show me why this trial has come, so that I can come forth as gold. I can come forth, be better, and not be bitter about it. So to how people don't pray, though, because they really don't know how. We had this example given to us, but it's a pattern, it's an illustration to break down in a format how we're to think, to ask God, give us our daily bread, help, forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. You know, Christ talked about the one that owed 10, the one that owed 100, which was forgiven, which was more worthy and honorable and thankful, the one who was forgiven 100 because he had a greater debt. And all of us have this great debt, and we should give God the thanks. But yet, at the same time, there was the servant, the manager of it, or the field, and he went out. He was supposed to pay his debts, didn't have it, and then he went and was really violent towards those in debt to him, and he was the unjust steward. And so we need to be willing to forgive those who offend us as well. We forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. You know, if we're in the Word of God and our prayer communication is right, we know how we're tender to the leading of the Holy Spirit, we can be delivered from temptation's harm and way. It's difficult in this world, but it's a battle that we have to deal with each day, as Paul even gives us that example. And because we're here for God. We're here to praise Him and worship and honor Him. So, and God expects us to pray. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, basically Samuel saying, you know, it's not a sin to pray and ask God for guidance and all that. And this was regarding to the people were demanding a king instead of God to be their leader and director and their king, the theocracy. They wanted a monarchy. And so, but yet Samuel's trying to reiterate to these people that it's not. And we're close. We'll stay here in the New Testament. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 14. Read verse 38. We are to watch and pray. God expects us to be ever there. And so Mark 14:38 says, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And Paul reiterates that to the churches as well, to us. And we are to exhort one another, but in the scripture also is to exhort and to lift us up, that we are to watch and pray. And to be aware of what's going on around us. And if you're not aware while you're driving, you may not make it to your destination. You need to watch all around. You have to be the defensive driver and not the offensive driver. Because you gotta wait for, you know, the guy's coming, you know, from the left lane over into the right lane at you, or you sideswipe. You need to be very careful. So in our life, we need to constantly watch around us. Make sure nobody's barreling up. You know, the Satan's running up the back side of us here, waiting to push us on through, overstep the bounds. So we need to be careful. And then again, in watching in prayer, the best way is that, as Paul writes to Thessalonians, you know, that we are to pray without ceasing. So Christ was second point here about. God expects us to pray. Christ exemplified prayer for us. He prayed all night, as we see in the garden. Lord, let this cup pass from me if it be thine will. Christ, the great compassion of the Lord, Christ knew that within a matter of hours, he would no longer be physically able to do what he has been doing for the last 3 years on this earth. The great physical suffering that's going to come upon him, that he's going to go through. He's asking the Heavenly Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But yet he knew it is better for him to suffer and endure the cross for that short time so that we would be saved today. Because if the cup did pass from him, we would have no hope. today, we wouldn't have the redemption, the resurrection to look back to thank him for giving his, to greater leading us to the spiritual healing instead of just all a lot of the physical healing that he was doing amongst many. Because many people he touched and healed didn't follow. They went about their merry way. And, you know, they said, well, I'm good now. And that happens over and over again. People laying on their deathbed or their sick bed in the hospital. Lord, if you heal me out of this situation, I'll do this and this for you. And then they're, right when they're out, they're back to their old ways. They've forgotten that vow that they made laying there. So we are to watch and pray. And then that we have in Matthew 14:23, we need to get apart from God. We get apart from the world and get alone with God. Excuse me. So be set our take, make, find a place to be apart. A place alone, one-on-one, where the cell phone's out of the pocket. As you got Pastor Horton, he's trying to figure out, how do I turn this thing off? It's in airport mode and it's not doing right. You know, he's trying to shut his phone off there as his son Keith had sent some pictures the night before. And of course, you know how internets work. And they showed up the next day in the middle of service. Bing, 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 bing. And so these we need to put everything aside to get alone in prayer, to get our mind, our focus on the Lord, and to bring our petitions before him. In Mark 1:35, Christ went out early in the morning, well, before everyone else was up, and went out, but was alone to pray unto the Father. Why would Christ have to pray to the Father? He and the Father are one. He knew the Father. The Father gave him all the words to say, but yet they were one, and yet to pray. And also knowing that the Spirit's there with the Father, because he says, I must go and send you the Comforter later. And yet, but he prayed so that he had direct communication, so that he's in his fleshly state. He needs to realize and how he can be in all points tempted as we are, and tried, and persecution. Everything that we suffer, he suffered more than what we are suffering. He suffered it all. And so, and this was examples for us, and the examples of prayer, how to pray to the Father, that to give us that example, to give us the encouragement so that we may overcome. But we can only overcome in his strength and with the aid and the power of the Holy Spirit. Also, other things Christ exemplified in John 17. We'll turn there. We got two verses here in John 17, verses 9 and 15. John 17. Verse 9 and verse 15. It says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine. And down in verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. The world, the mass of the people, the evil of us. We're not as bad as the days before Noah, as in the days of Noah prior to the flood. We're getting there. The world's getting there. It has to, because otherwise, Christ won't return yet. And it's got to put more people on their knees to realize that they can't do things on their own, that there is an almighty God who loves them and cares for them, who died for them so they can escape this chaotic world that we live in. And then we have, so Christ is praying. He's here for his children. He knows each and every one of us. 2,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago, God knows all things. I've had someone ask me, who used to attend church here, said, well, if God knew all these things in the beginning, why'd he even create Adam if all this was going to happen? Because before he created man, there was the fall in heaven. And God knew what he needed to do to have that fellowship for 7,000 years, to have that reverence to him, to show that there are people who honor and trust and praise and glorify the Heavenly Father, and to show what Satan is going to forever, for all eternity, miss out on because of his rebellion. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to newness of life. That's what Christ, that's the whole purpose. God gave that there, that promise to Adam and Eve in the garden that he would come 4,000 years later. Christ hollers, it is finished. The plan of redemption is complete. So the Old Testament saints and all the believers in that time, they were looking forward to the coming Savior. David prophesied of him, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the coming of the Savior to come. And yet we look back to the finished work, the Messiah, and now we look forward to the return of the Messiah. The finished work of the cross is what brought us to our salvation. We live in these days of the ages of grace, no longer under the law. But the law shows us what we are to avoid. It's still there, just like the law is still out there, even on the roads. Even once you've got your driver's license, doesn't mean you don't have to review the book anymore. You still have to sometimes, because the laws change. The school zones change. So you got to keep up on these things. And so the Word of God is here for us. But the word of the law was there to teach us, to reveal the sin, reveal the shortcomings of man, and so that we can see our unregenerate state. In Hebrews 7 and verse 25, the Lord says that he ever liveth and maketh intercession. And he is our high priest. We don't have to go to some little lattice wood booth in the corner of the building and wonder, well, who's on the other side you're talking to, and tell them all the gory, dark secrets of your past so they can hold it over you and blackmail. We take it to the Father, and we leave it, and we lay it at the mercy seat. He maketh intercession for us. So in God also in that, the Christ is the example for us. He is our ultimate high priest. He is the high priest. There is no, he's the only priest. And we are, as a child of God, a royal priesthood in him. But we're not to take on that, oh well, I'm better than you are, so you need to tell me your sins so I can pray for you to the Father. No, you need to just tell your sins to the Father alone and let him take care of it. So he ever liveth and maketh intercession for us. God engages his promises to us by prayer. So we were, that was Hebrews 7:35. We'll turn to James chapter 4. So as we kind of get through the New Testament here. James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire not, and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Well, I remember one year at camp when I was a teenager, and there was a preacher came in from Texas, and he actually, when he came to the camp to speak, he drove in a, like a, I don't know, it must have been like a 1978 Corvette. You know, all the kids are going, wow, and you're a preacher from Texas? Wow. And he said, yeah, he said, you know, it was like, it was a battle. You know, I could have come in the Ford Pinto. You guys don't know what a Ford Pinto is, no. Okay, anyway, there's a few of those around. There actually was a yellow one for sale out there in the old car. Yeah, he said, this car was given to me by a church member who runs the Chevrolet dealership. And it was the dealer's, you know, he had it, and he had it for 2 years. And he said, you know, I'm going to have a new one to run around town in. So here, you have this one, Pastor. And so he said, I didn't buy it. He said, it was a gift. He said, and so, but you know, and that thing that he had, you know, you have to explain your situation, and it sometimes becomes an offense to others. How God, you know, others think, well, you know, preacher really shouldn't be doing that. But if you know the story behind how God's blessed them and given them, then we should praise the Lord with them in that. And, you know, I mean, there's the biggest battle I grew up was nobody wanted, I don't know, I should say it. I grew up not wanting Kenworth. Was Peterbilt or Mack? You know, it was one of those two. Danny will tell. I don't, you know, it's like, we have a preference as to, you know, and, yeah, you know, they all burn the same amount of fuel, I think, you know, and it's just a matter of interior comfort, really, and then it's how you specifically order them in to what you're needing to pull, what you're needing to haul, and so it's preference that we have, but, you know, we need to not let it become an issue that divides. And that's what Satan loves to do. Find something, find this little tiny issue to begin to create a wedge, to start dividing opinions, to divide the fellowship, the unity of the Spirit. And we need to be careful of that. And if we are in prayer, continually in prayer, and that we have not, you know, that gets in our way. We have that open prayer line that we can be, it's a hedge about keeping us from causing, having division come and having her feelings hurt in that. So here, James, that we need to, but yet when we lust, we have not. We need to be sure that what we're asking for is specifically for what we need, not for to consume it upon us. So we need to ask correctly at the right time for the right things, that we not consume it upon our own, for our own lust. And over in 1 John chapter 5, 1 John 5, 14. I'm in 3 John, so I'll get back here. There's no 5 in 3 John. 1 John 5, verse 14. It says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything," what's those next four words? "According to his will, he heareth us." And that's the hardest thing we got to realize when we ask in prayer. We ask for things. Are we asking according to our flesh, our lust, or are we asking according to his will? And where two or three are gathered in his name and they agree, he heareth us. Scripture tells us that. When we pray for salvation of a loved one, and you know, we are in agreement that we see our loved ones get saved. We don't want them to have to suffer eternal punishment. And yet, he heareth us. And now we need to pray that, Lord, let us, may we in our day, while we're alive, see this prayer come to fruition, see this happen. But maybe it's not right. I know for years and years, we prayed for Nina's husband for salvation. And Nina prayed. She must have been praying like 50 years for that. But she was never able to see that in her day. And so, but we got to pray that it's according to his will being done. And not praying in a lustful manner and a fleshly desire, but praying that the Father would answer the prayer, the outcome in his time, in his way. And he will. Because when we pray for something great, things to happen, phenomenal, he does bring it about, but not in the way in what we're thinking. Not in our thought pattern. So he'll bring it about according to his will. And then we also, back in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, God's promises and the provisions, Matthew 7, 7. It says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." And just as the widow woman came to the judge, well, as we come to Christ and we come according to his will in prayer, we can ask and it'll be given to us. We can seek and find. We shall find it. We can, and as we knock and the Lord opens the door unto us. And then there are also just a couple pages over in Matthew 9:38 again. 9:38 says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." You know, it is God's calling upon the heart of the individual and what he has for them to do with the talents he's given them, for what aspect of ministry he needs them to be in, to be an edification and be a part of the membership of the body. And all of us, we should be praying there for to the Lord that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. And we need to start. Well, what does that mean? How is that? How are we? Can we be that laborer in the harvest? And we should be. I mean, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. And as fast as the world keeps growing, and as fast as people keep dying, there's many who go off into eternity, without Christ. So we need to pray that there be more, because we can only do so much. We have our, and the best influence we have, the best is by sharing the gospel with our closest neighbors, our closest relatives. They can see our love. They can see our compassion. They can see our concern for their soul eternally. And that we care about them. We really do. We want them to have the best. We want them to know that they have a home in eternity, in heaven. And, you know, sometimes they scoff at you. Sometimes they just shrug their shoulder and look down after a while. And so, but we continue to just make sure that we not get angry with them, because then Satan's won the battle on that, and we would destroy our testimony. We need to just be patient and come in love and just come in this, and give them this, let the scripture. Because what is it that convicts the soul? Is it your lifestyle? No, it's the word of God. And so as long as you can keep the word to them, then you let the Holy Spirit be able to do the work. And as long as our life is an example of what the word is, then there's evidence, there's action, there's action to back up what we're saying. And so we need to be able to, like, God will, by our prayers, we can see the Lord's will being done by praying Him. I mean, just, it's, God wants us to come to Him, to call upon Him, to guide us, to strengthen us. He wants us to see His handiwork being done around, His blessings happening around us. Philippians 4:6, that we are to be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, let our requests be made known unto God. So to be weary, watching out. So that's Philippians 4:6. And that we, you know, we need to be aware of what's going on at all times. But with everything, with prayer and supplication, we make our request unto God. And I think we'll close here with John 14, verses 13 and 14. John 14, verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. That's verse 15 as well. And do we, our obedience to His word, to His commandments, shows our love for Him, that we have a desire to please Him in all that we do, and that when we ask things in the Father's name, through Christ, that He will do, that the Heavenly Father may be glorified. And it's redemption, salvation. It's our salvation is because of what the Son did. It's an honor, it's a blessing to see a changed life, to come from the life, the background of the world, the background of sin, and to have forsaken that, to be changed, to see that new creature developing in the life of the believer. And that is glorifying the Son. It's showing you what the Son has done and been able to provide us, that we are made alive, we're made new. And the old things have passed away, the old desires. We have new desires. We have a new desire for new different type of friends, new types of fellowship, one with other, new family relations, and we have new tastes and things. So it's like when people say, "Well, you know, the Pentecostals got on this big thing years ago," like, "Well," and you go and witness, "Well, I'm a Christian. How come you can't tell?" Well, the walk's not right, the talk's not right, the dress isn't right. So I'm just being a fruit inspector. I walk up to an apple tree. I don't expect to pick an orange off an apple tree. You know, it won't ever happen. And so if you look at someone's life, do they look like they've left the world system? You know, is there a change in them? And that's one of the main evidences. That's where the Son's glorified, the power of God, evident every day in the changing of the life, changing of the heart, and the regenerating them. And be glorified in that. And the desires that we have are changing. You know, our music changes desires. And so it's wonderful to see that. It's a blessing. And, you know, as Paul wrote to the Ephesians and to the church of Colossae, you know, to exhort one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And many times, you know, David in the Psalms that he wrote in praise and in prayer and in agony, these Psalms are there. And they're for us, too. Because David didn't experience, we don't experience something different than what David's already went through. Yeah, David was thought as a man after God's own heart. He committed some pretty evil things. You know, orchestrated the murder of one of his best military men and suffered that loss, hardship. And through that, and Nathan came to him, the prophet. Nathan, you know, proclaimed four things that would happen to him. And yet, it was 40 years until that final fourth fulfillment of that sin with Bathsheba took place. 40 years later, he suffered from that. So, we need to realize, as a Christian, as one following after God, that life's not a bed of roses and we can get away with anything. We can't. God knows it all. He sees it all. there's, you know, and I'm trying to, what is that? R.G. Lee, old American evangelist, had a sermon called Payday Someday. I don't know if any of you ever heard it. I don't know if it's on the net or not. Or maybe it's a voice cast called Payday Sunday. He preached it like 1,400 times all across the U.S. And it changed, it developed over years as he preached it. But R.G. Lee, Payday Someday. And we all, as we stand before Christ, we're going to, you know, as a Christian, we're at the Bema Seat. As the lost, you're before the great white throne. And yet, our life as a Christian, we're before the Bema Seat. Is it going to come out in ashes because we lived a wood, hay, and stubble life? Or are we going to have gold and gems and precious stones from the trying of fire at the Bema Seat? So, but in prayer, keep our life, the importance of prayer, so that we may bring to the Lord, and that He hears us. You know, I mean, does a father like to spoil his child? Does a father spoil his grandchildren? Yeah. Well, our Heavenly Father would do the same for us, but we have to ask. We have to come to Him first and ask to see that spoiling taking place and praise Him for it. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You for these verses and throughout the Scripture, the importance of prayer in our life. Father, as we read Your Word, You talk to us, and the Holy Spirit can refresh us and prick our minds to the Scriptures. And Father, we just come before You and bow. We can take the time to put away the thoughts and cares of the world and dwell on Thy Word and just dwell on Thy goodness. And it's not even at times where we need to bow our head and close our eyes, but as we're even through life and times of rote motions, and that we can just stop and reflect on counting our blessings, naming them one by one, and we are surprised of all the things You've done for us. And the more days that we live here on this earth, the greater that blessing list becomes, and longer. At least we hope so for each of us. That it would, and we can look forward to how You would bless us in the future. Father, that we may be found faithful and true, and would be proven through these tests that come, and we look for Your strength that we may overcome, because we know that there is no temptation taking us, but that You do provide that way, that we can come to You and to overcome, to become better and not bitter. Lord, we thank You for this time together. Again, we do pray for those that aren't able to be out tonight, and we ask Your touch and healing for those for sickness and restoration for joy from the surgery, and traveling mercies for those on the roads. Now we ask it in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. All right. Okay, well, I guess we'll have to take time for some prayer requests.